Good evening. My name is Caroline Smart, and I'm the Deputy Executive Administrator for the North Carolina State Health Plan, which is a division of the Department of State Treasurer. It's our office that oversees and administers the State Health Plan. I'm so glad you're all able to join our conversation this evening. We'll be joined by State Health Plan staff members Shane Shire and Roberta Hamby. This telephone town hall event will give you the chance to learn more about your 2026 benefits and open enrollment, which will be held October 13th through October 31st. We'll also have an opportunity to answer some of your questions. During the call, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 0 at any time to electronically raise your hand. We will be able to bring some participants on the call tonight live on the air to ask questions. Again, I want to welcome those of you who have just joined us. I'm Caroline Smart, the Deputy Executive Administrator for the North Carolina State Health Plan, and I'm joined by State Health Plan staff members Jane Shire and Roberta Hamby. We'll get started in just a moment. I also want to encourage you to visit the State Health Plan's website at www.shpnc.gov, where you can find the information we'll discuss on this call. If you need additional help, or if you have specific questions, we will have extended call hours during open enrollment, which begins Monday, October 13th, and lasts through October 31st. Just call 855-859-0966 between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. Monday through Friday, or Saturdays during open enrollment between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. This is your call, and we want to hear from you. We will take as many questions as we can this evening. We're looking forward to sharing more information about your 2026 benefits. It looks like we have a lot of people on the call, so we're going to go ahead and get started. Roberta, can you please review the option members have for 2026?
Sure. The State Health Plan will continue to offer two PPO plans. The standard PPO plan, formerly called the 70-30 plan, and the plus PPO plan, formerly called the 80-20 plan. There are two very important items we want to emphasize right from the start. First, all members will be automatically enrolled in the standard PPO plan, formerly the 70-30 plan, for the 2026 year. Second, if members would like to enroll in the plus PPO plan, formerly the 80-20 plan, or need to make any changes regarding dependents, you will need to take action during open enrollment. Please note that there is no longer a tobacco attestation premium credit to complete during open enrollment. No matter the action you take during open enrollment, all members will receive a new ID card before January 1st, 2026. All members should have received a decision guide for the 2026 benefit year. All details are included in that mailer, so please review it carefully. The State Health Plan has been on the news, and we've been communicating with members regularly about the plan's financial situation. We understand the necessary changes for 2026 are not ideal, but with the plan facing a $507 million deficit in 2026, we were not on a sustainable path. But with the changes approved by the board this year, and both premium rates and benefit changes, we will get back on track. Tonight, we hope to walk you through some of those changes. Now, I'd like to turn things over to Jane.
Thanks, Roberta. It's great to be joined by so many State Health Plan members tonight and have an opportunity to hear from you and talk about what's ahead. Before we get started, I have a few brief announcements. If you would like to ask a question to one of our team members, please note that they are not able to answer questions about your specific health circumstances, which may include personal health information. If you have a question about your personal health circumstances, enrollment status, or the details of your plan coverage, please call the State Health Plan's Eligibility and Enrollment Support Center at 855 859-0966. We are recording this call, and it will be available for plan members who are not able to join us tonight. If you end up asking a question live on the call, please know that your question will be recorded as part of this call. Please don't include any personal health information and be as brief as possible so we can fit in as many questions as possible. I want to remind everyone on the line to press 0 at any time during the call if you want to electronically raise your hand to ask any question. We do ask that you be respectful to those taking calls. Tonight, we'll discuss your 2026 state health plan options. We'll explain some important information and resources you can use prior to open enrollment. As we mentioned, the state health plan will continue to offer two plan options for active members: the standard PPO plan, formerly known as the 70-30 plan, and the plus PPO plan, formerly known as the 80-20 plan. There are benefit changes for 2026. There have been changes to the deductibles, copays, and out-of-pocket maximums in both plans. For full details on the changes, members should refer to the plan's website at www.shpnc.gov or refer to your decision guide, and you should have already received it. If not, you'd be receiving it very soon.
Jane, can you provide more information about each of these plans?
Sure. I'll give a brief description of each of your options. All members should take a close look at each of these plans to determine which option will be best for you in 2026. The Plus PPO plan, again formerly known as the 80-20 plan, is a PPO plan where you pay 20% coinsurance for eligible in-network services after you meet your deductible. For some services, such as office visits, urgent care, or emergency room visits, you have a copay. The Plus PPO plan, 80-20, has a combined medical and pharmacy out-of-pocket maximum of $5,000 for in-network subscriber-only coverage. This means that once you reach this amount, your plan benefit will pick up 100% of covered in-network expenses for the rest of the benefit year. Preventive services performed by an in-network provider are covered at 100%. This means that for your annual physical or preventive screenings, like a colonoscopy, there is no copay. The second option is the standard PPO plan, formerly known as the 70-30 plan, which works the same way, but your coinsurance is 30% for eligible in-network expenses after you meet your deductible. The plan has a combined medical and pharmacy out-of-pocket maximum of $6,500 for in-network subscriber-only coverage. Preventive services performed by an in-network provider are again covered at 100% with this plan as well. Now, I'll turn it over to Roberta to discuss some other changes for 2026.
Thanks, Jane. I wanted to take a minute to discuss the Clear Pricing Project, or CPP. When the Clear Pricing Project was launched in 2020, the intention was to promote transparency in healthcare pricing while trying to promote primary care and behavioral health. Given that most of the providers that signed up for the CPP received an increased reimbursement rate, or what the plan pays them, coupled with members having no copay, CPP is not a model that has proven to be financially viable for the plan. Therefore, CPP will end December 31st, 2025. With the plan's continued commitment to independent primary care, the plan plan is introducing preferred providers in 2026. These providers have been identified by the plan as providers who are committed to improved access to high quality, affordable health care. When you select and see one of these providers in 2026, you will pay the lowest copay for an office visit. During open enrollment in eBenefits, members will be able to see what providers are preferred by a special preferred provider badge in Aetna's Find a Doctor tool. If you would like to change your selected primary care provider, or PCP, to a preferred provider, you will need to wait until after January 1st, 2026 to make that change. If your selected PCP is already noted as a preferred provider, you do not need to take any action. As a reminder, PCPs can be changed anytime, and ID cards are typically will arrive 7 to 10 days after the change is made.
Thanks for that information, Roberta. I want to remind everyone that if you have questions, you can press 0 to be connected to someone who will take down your question. Soon, we'll start taking your questions live on the air. Before we do, I want to touch on your 2026 premium. The plan will be introducing salary-based premiums for 2026. This means that your monthly premium rate will be dependent on your current total base pay. Your monthly premium will display in eBenefits, the plan's enrollment system, when you log in to complete open enrollment. The subscriber-only rate, which is based on your salary, will remain the same for 2026 regardless of adjustments unless a salary change occurs in the first quarter of 2026. If a change occurs during that time, your premium rate may change. Implementing salary-based premiums allows for our lower salaried members to be impacted the least, which was the goal of this effort.
Thanks, Jane. Now I'd like to move on to our pharmacy benefits. CVS Caremark is the plan's pharmacy benefit administrator. The formulary indicates which drugs are and are not covered by the plan. All drugs that are on the formulary are grouped into tiers. Your medications tier and plan determine your portion of the drug cost. Remember, you only pay for the cost of the medication. For example, if your drug is on Tier 1 and only costs $5, you will only pay $5, not the Tier 1 copay. As a reminder, the formulary changes on a quarterly basis, so your coverage could change throughout the year. I'm curious to hear what our listeners are thinking about. Let's take our first question.
We've had several of you asking about the tobacco attestation. Just a reminder, you are no longer required to complete a tobacco attestation to lower your premium for 2026.
Okay, so we've had a few questions again about the salary bands, and again, this was implemented so it will have the lowest impact on our lower paid employees. And it looks like we now have Blaze on the line. Blaze, are you there? Do you have a question? Blaze, are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am, I am. Hi. Yes, I was just, so it kind of feels as if now, even with the pay base, because I will be on the lower end, right? But I also am a single person. And, you know, even somebody who may be in that 50, that 60 pay range, even that 70, 80, if they have children, sometimes, you know, that really isn't enough to cover for that adult and the children. So it just kind of feels as if it's double penalizing us that we're now being based off of our salary rather than and also having the copay. I feel as if it was one or the other, it wouldn't feel as a double penalization. You know what I mean? And thank you for the consideration.
Yeah. I understand those concerns, and we do hear that. Again, we're doing our best to try and make sure that we're addressing our deficit while still providing a quality health plan benefit to all of our members and doing our best to make sure that there's still going to be a less of an impact to those lower salaried employees.
Yes, it looks like we have a question from Louise. Louisa?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
We can. What? Yes. And your question,
my question
please?
Is, yeah, my question is I can enroll by phone.
Yes, you would be able to contact the Eligibility and Enrollment Support Center at 855-859-0966.
Susan, we've got Susan online. Susan, what's your question?
My question is, I'm retiring at the end of this year, so January 1st, 2026 will be my retirement date, and I'm not sure what I need to do to stay in. I know you're only offering 70-30 for retirees, and I just wanted to know if that's the truth, what's going on, and it's
right.
Based on my salary.
Okay, well, first of all, in regards to your coverage, if you're retiring January 1st, you're going to stay covered under your employing agency for your first month of retirement. So you would just look at the fee schedule for your salary base for that month. Then the first of the month following your retirement date is your benefit date, and that is when your benefits will move under the state retirement system, and you have the option of the 70-30 plan or two different Humana Medicare Advantage plans if you're Medicare eligible. I would suggest calling the Eligibility and Enrollment Support Center. They'll be able to verify your premium for you for that first month and also once you move under the state retirement system.
So, Pat, do you have a question?
Hello?
Yes.
Did you say Pat?
Yes, I did. Pat, do you have a question?
Yes. I've been having issues with Aetna about paying for mammograms, and I just would think that a mammogram would be preventative, especially if you meet the criteria about the dense breast and history of cysts and things like that. And why am I having the fight and I can't do a standard mammogram because of the density? They have to do the MRI type. And I just want to know why it's such an issue to get a mammogram where when I had Blue Cross and Blue Shield, they automatically paid every year.
Well, to be honest, it should be paid based on the diagnosis code the provider puts on the claim. As long as they put it preventive, it should be paid at 100%, whether it's an MRI, an ultrasound, or a mammogram. So if you want to reach out to the state health plan office, we can try to reach out to them for you. But it really should be. But if there's a possibility that if the doctor's not coding it as preventive, that it would not pay at 100%.
Okay, we understand, Daryl, you have a question tonight.
Yes, I did. I'm about to reach the age of 65 in February, and I just didn't know with the open enrollment period about to start in October, what happens in that process? Because I'll have to select, I think, Part A, federal government gives you that, and then Part B, how does that work with me? Would they start taking those funds out once I select that? And I read also that state would be my primary carrier, so I'm a little confused in that matter. That's all.
Okay, so are you an active state employee, and do you plan to continue to work beyond age 65?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so as long as you're actively working for the state, then the state health plan would be primary to Medicare, and we would recommend that you enroll in Medicare Part A, which is the hospital insurance, and that is typically premium-free as long as you've worked 10 years or more and paid FICA taxes. You would delay enrollment into Medicare Part B until you make the decision to retire. And then once you get ready to retire, you would want to enroll in Medicare Part B to become effective as of your retirement date. That is very important. It needs to be in place as of your retirement date.
Okay, we've got Danny on the line. Danny, you want to ask your question?
Yes, ma'am. So I was wondering, to help us make an informed decision on which plan we might want to choose, I'd like to get more information on Lantern, maybe before the open enrollment period starts. Because right now there's hardly any information about it, and I'd like to be able to find out some more details so that I can, like I said, make an informed decision on which plan I might want to select.
Okay, well, the good news is that Lantern is available with both plans, whether you're on the 7030, which, you know, will now be known as the standard PPO plan, and also the 8020, which will be known as the plus PPO plan. So you'll have access to Lantern no matter which one you are enrolled in. There is information in your decision guide, and you can call them with the number to get more information about that benefit. We're going to talk about it a little bit more in just a few minutes. It is on our website as of today as far as the number to reach out. And all members are going to be getting a Lantern ID card later this fall. So look for that to come in the mail. And, you know, there'll be information on that ID card also. All right. We're going to go ahead and continue moving on. Thank you for the questions you've asked so far. We've got a lot of information that we shared on this call, and we're going to continue to move on, and I'll give you some more information about Lantern Surgical. The State Health Plan is super excited to be partnering with Lantern. They're a trusted provider that helps connect the plan, our plan members, to high-quality, carefully selected surgeons when you need a planned non-emergency procedure. There will be no cost, a $0 cost for surgery for members who use a Lantern provider. There are no deductibles and no copays. And members are going to be getting additional information directly from Lantern later this fall, and that includes an ID card that you can keep with you.
Thanks, Jane. That was really very helpful. Roberta, do you have any more information for us tonight?
Well, we've had so many great questions, and there were lots of questions that we did not get a chance to answer today. You still have time to explore the information on the State Health Plan website, www.shpnc.gov. But keep in mind that open enrollment ends October 31st, 2025, and we recommend you do not wait until the very last minute to take action. The plan is also hosting several webinars prior to and during open enrollment. Visit the plan's website and select upcoming events to view a complete list of webinars.
And I want to remind everyone that you will automatically be enrolled into the standard PPO plan, again, formerly known as the 7030 plan. And if you want to enroll in the PLUS PPO plan, formerly known as 8020, You've got to take action during open enrollment. Remember, if you don't do anything, you'll be on that 70-30 plan.
If we didn't get to your question and you still have questions, please call us at 855-859-0966. We also want to remind you to follow the Stay Health Plan on Facebook and Instagram as another way to keep up to date on your benefits. Thank you again for joining, and have a good evening.